All right, introduce the podcast. Yo, 1212, we are back again. It's the Global Takeover Podcast. It's your man, Professor Did the Math, and I'm in the building, and I got my girl, you know, Empress B444.
What it is, what it do, family?
Oh, yeah. And there go my man, Big Lala.
What's poppin', y'all? What's poppin'? It's amazing. It's amazing.
All right, look. This week we got a super special guest. Woo! We're doing it different today. Woo! We're coming through on the Zoom like boom, and we got what? We got Blue Pill. We got the body Blue Pill in the building. What's happening, brother?
Peace, love, and light to the family. Thank you. It's an honor. You know what I'm saying, for having me here. It's wonderful to be in a company of good people. I can definitely vouch for Empress B444, and I know that she only got some stellar energy around her. Absolutely. You dig what I'm saying? So, you know company that they keep. You dig what I'm saying? So, it's an honor to be amongst good company. Peace. Wow.
Peace.
We definitely appreciate you.
Definitely an honor to have you on here. Definitely an honor to have you in our presence.
Thank you, dog.
Yeah, it's definitely a pleasure. When I met you and your brother at House of Consciousness, y'all changed my life. And I have been stuck to you like glue ever since. So I am glad you're here. I'm glad to see what you're doing. And I support you. 10 toes. Always.
I appreciate your support. I appreciate your reflection. You know what I'm saying? Because we get to see a lot of our goodness, you know, in good people such as yourself.
Ooh, thank you.
And, so ask your first question so I can segue into the rest of my answer.
Okay, so my first question that I really want to know is,
yes,
what drives you to, like, stay? Not just get on the front line and play with it. You've stayed on the front line consistently.
You.
Oh.
Right? You and people such as yourself, like I said, being able to see a reflection in the pool, in the pond, if you will. And that's an allegory. Meaning that when you pour yourself into a thing or a topic or a subject or a people, you know, but then you see your reflection come back and it's beautiful. And it's even like, you know how like in those Disney movies and shit, you know, it might be a prince and, you know, but he look in the pond and he don't got no flaws. Mm. Like, his reflection don't have no flaws. His reflection is perfect. You know, and I'm not saying that what it is that we see in the people all the time is quote unquote perfect, but it's minus the flaws that we have as individuals.
Beautiful.
Per se, we have to live with, you know, our shadow self. We get to see our light in other people, and then they refract their version of it back to us because, you know, you're individuals, so you're going to put your thing into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, my favorite picture of all time is, you know, with you and your son. He got the bottom fronts with the gold water. I mean, that's a personal, you know what I'm saying, expression. That's somebody taking it and making it their own. So when you're like in a world that's just full of darkness. And what I'm saying, darkness, again, that's an allegory to lack of consciousness, you know, ignorance. You know what I'm saying? People not appreciating information and knowledge and not seeking it, just wanting to do the opposite. You know, like scripture and other books always said that we would be in those particular times. And then you find out that you are in those times. You look around and you're like, damn, this shit is dark. It's bleak. It's like, I don't see nobody pushing towards the other side. And then you make the decision and be like, I'm going to do that. You know, where there's 99% darkness, I'm going to represent that 1% of light. And then I'm going to grow that number.
Yes.
Even if I get to 10 or 15 or 20%, you get excited by the challenge. You right. know, so you have to take on a magnanimous challenge, something that's larger than life. And then when you start chipping away at it, that shit gives you a whole different type of energy. And you start convincing yourself that you like, yo, maybe I can go the whole way with it. Like, exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It might ultimately consume you, but hey, it's better than dying on a crate you know what I'm saying, drinking an old fucking, an old E. Smoking Max and drinking an OE, it's like,
yes,
if you're going to get out there,
yeah. And, you know, that's why me personally, I appreciate brothers like you and your brother Red Pill, KT the Arts Degree.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
Everybody Mama y'all affiliated it.
With because Mama because Pill. I know that the condition that we in is crazy wretched, and I know it can get frustrating dealing with us. and you staying in there and talk about how magnanimous, you know what I'm saying, the journey could be as far as, you know, staying in there and, you know what I'm saying, and trying to heal the people, you know what I'm saying?
I get it now, though, because, like, I don't do what you do personally, but for, like, the homeless people or just people in need that I see, sometimes I may not want to do it, but then when I do it and I see the reaction and the gratefulness and that it really does make a difference, it changes my whole aspect. Now I want to just help, and, you know.
Right. I mean, even for what you do on social media, you know, in terms of supporting other people, you know what I mean? Like, that means a lot. You feel me? Not only does it help people, but it sets a precedent in terms of other people that are part of that network to see, like, no, this is what support looks like. This is what 100% support looks like. You know what I'm saying? Like, go above and beyond, because I would do the same thing for you, but imagine if all of us was doing that for one another.
Exactly.
How dope would it be?
Yeah.
You feel me? So I have this undying love for our people that I'm just like, yo, what if we just operating on 2%, right? Mm. So my vision is always like, shit, what would it look like if we got to 25, let alone 40, 50, let alone 100%, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's that, the Kardashev scale. If we was a type one civilization, you know what I'm saying? I don't think that we understand the magnitude of what it would mean to be fully activated, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And have access to the energy of the galaxy to pull on, you know what I mean? Not just, you know, getting past just the regular mundane, like, oh, you know, we can unify as a people. And I'm like, yeah, that's great, but we can take it further than that. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole galaxy out there. It
don't take all of us, though.
Huh?
It don't really take all of us.
That's what I'm saying.
No. And that's the beauty of it. Like, you know, because I come from the street, so it's like, you know, sometimes you was inspired by stunting on niggas. Like, that was the impetus for you getting up early and putting everything that you had, pouring it into whatever you had to do. And so at nighttime, you could style on niggas like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is the fruits of my labor. And it has to be like that in this. Like, we have to make, you know, black excellence the new sexy. But not the commercialized version. It's like, no, black excellence where we build up a whole city.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Black excellence where, you know, we breeze past these jokers that's playing games, sitting on technology and holding it back. It's like, all right, well, what if we came up with our own inventions and funded it? You know, what if we cracked the code and what if we redefined what the bag was altogether and broke people's concept out of this whole this cash curse that they under, because the economic system is moving and fluctuating and changing anyway. We are at a precipice of time where, for the thinkers, right, if we can figure out where this thing is going and get in front of it and put power back in people's hands, imagine how they will free them up. And just this small social experiment of seeing what it looks like when you give people time back. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, they can potentially be different people, you know, once they get a little bit of their lives back, a little bit of control, a little taste of what, damn, I get a chance to wake up when I want and do as I please, and I'm still getting things done for the day. I just don't have to do it under the constraints of, you know, them popping the pistol off.
Yeah.
Or your mom just said, you know, the 9 a.m., you want a hamster wheel shit.
Right.
It's like, fam, no, I'm going to do that shit at 7 p.m. It's going to get done, though, okay?
Exactly.
Yeah, without the
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you keep fighting though? Because right now, at the end of the day, sometimes you have to feel like a sacrificial lamb. I just heard you say a second ago you're from the street. So being in the street, you know the mentality of the people in the street. So sometimes it's like your work, the work you're doing, is almost being countered by the people that we basically are trying to
help. Yeah,
to try to help. And the reason why I asked that because, you know, I was involved a little bit years ago and went through wars. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I'm from my mayor. You know, you go through, and then a lot of times people don't see what's going on behind the scenes. So they didn't see out in the public. They don't know you getting back. They don't know exactly what's going on to you. Trying to deal with the mayor. They don't know what type of pressure and the blackball and the type of stuff that can go on behind the door. They don't know a lot of doors that can get closed for you. They don't know a lot of things. So it's almost like, but then you're sitting here looking at it like, damn, I'm out here trying to help this person. But meanwhile, your actions are basically contradicting, or basically every step I take, your action is pushing us back as a people. So knowing that, how do you still wake up? Like, how is it that you don't wake up every day and say, you know what, man? I'm just trying to, you know what I'm saying? I just got to worry about me and just get what I got to get, and then, you know, build the people around you and then go from there. Because the thing about the masses, it's hard. You know, momentum starts when the snowball at the top of the hill, it starts so small and it gets big at the bottom. You got to start small before you can just get to that big, gigantic goal. You feel me?
I'm doing a live show with Blue Pill.
I have the conversation with myself every day, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes I have to find new reasons. Sometimes I can lean on the same one. You feel me? I'm motivated by children. You know, like, in my mind's eye, I think about children. Well, I'm just like, God damn, they just got to see something different.
Right.
Maybe it's not for their parents, you know, but for, you know, the child might be looking, you know, maybe I'm in my imagination. Now, I do meet children all the time, or I meet parents, should I say, with their children. And they be like, yo, my baby's just watching, right? Then I got to, you know, I'll be mindful of that. I got to clean my language up and shit. But I hold that thought in my mind because I got nieces and nephews, and I just be like, you know, if I don't do it, nobody's going to do it for them.
Exactly.
Nobody's going to show them an alternative. Nobody's going to hold this same energy in this same place and be like, I don't care what they doing. I ain't doing that shit. You feel me?
Yeah.
I don't care where the game go. I'm not putting a dress on. You know what I'm saying? I ain't rocking the merch. I'm not breaking down to this shit because I see what this shit is.
Word,
and then I came from the original shit. So I know what this is a bad copy of. Because I remember the original. You feel me? Right. So I'm not like mesmerized by it. There's nothing shiny that can, you know what I'm saying, that can mesmerize me and put me under a spell. But I'm like, oh, I got to have that. I exhausted all of that in my years in the street. You know what I'm saying? The only thing that I want to appreciate is I'm like, shit, you know, yeah, we should be in mansions and we should have, you know what I mean? Luxury cars and everything. But I'm like, why we can't do it as a BMF on the conscious side of things? Why we can't do it as an elite group of entrepreneurs and forward thinkers who came up with solutions that supported the planet, and we got over the concept of what a bag was or money altogether because we ran it up so much that, oh, you want to do this and you want to do that? Yeah, do as you please, but at a time like this, when we are facing species terminus, my observations and my honest beliefs based on what I'm looking at and how I've been gauging it for over 10 years, I'm like, oh, this is the end game. You know, we love to say, oh, you know, this is, you know, the white people is, no. White people have figured out that at a junction in time like this, they can take niggas out forever. And that's what they on. And they want to get it done.
We ain't going to do shit about
all. Right? Even if they're leaving, they want to take everybody with them. And they're in a position to at least try their hand at it. And black people are not in a position to defend themselves. They're not in a position to stop them, only with rhetoric in their mouths. but they don't have nothing else to deter something like that from happening. So
we got straps out here. Everybody want to talk. You ain't got no straps. You ain't got no guns to be able to defend yourself and protect your people. We out here. We got defense.
And it's not even
So they you know what the sad thing is? They know that in New York, you can't even have pistols. You gotta have a permit to have it on your premises before you can even apply for a what to go. So it's almost like New York is a city almost looking at it like, I mean, yeah, people got guns, but they defenseless up there. At the end of the day, when it comes down to the masses up there.
Right. So think about a city like New York, right? Where they said it's like 19 million in New York, something like that.
Easy.
New York is sitting ducks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take something like the Michigan Militia. Michigan Militia is the fourth largest standing army on the planet, right? The Michigan Militia. I didn't say all militias in this country. The Michigan Militia is the biggest, right? They're the ones who ran up on the courthouse the other day, right, with the gats out.
Oh.
So it's not even, yo, we don't have artillery. Is it? We got inferior artillery. We don't have the ammo.
Right.
So these dudes got military grade, you feel me, and caches of ammunition. And this is, again, this is not fear. This is not doom and gloom. And this is not, acquiescence to the challenge. I'm just like, look, we could have fun. We could kumbaya and all of that, you know, as long as primarily, first and foremost, we do realize that there's a clear and present threat.
No doubt.
Right, and we do understand that we are one scenario away from being in a very precarious situation where I'm not going to allow myself to be dependent on police, military, paramilitary, or militias. Right?
So, I mean, so what, aren't we already in that, though?
To a degree, yes, we are. Right? It was a soft march. You get what I'm saying? But we were soft marched to a situation where, yes, we do find ourselves in that predicament. You know what I mean? But it's not an end all be all situation just yet. Right? There's still a little wiggle room if we wanted to do something to secure our own, you know, security, if you will. So it's like, how do we get this conversation to people in a timely fashion? Because people got to be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Then they got to get on board. Then they have to be willing to make lifestyle changes. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, we need to be around one another. Social media is cute. But what if you're the only person in your town and you live in a Klan's town?
Exactly.
You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, I be on their chat boards. I be in their chat rooms. I be on their chat boards. Right, so they be talking about us directly, so I be wanting to see what's going on sometimes.
Mm.
And they plotting, they planning. They're not utilizing this situation to take a vacation or to kick back. No, they are aggressively planning, and they like, look, by August we can get this done. And for them, that's what they understand. The second Trump administration is Trump is telling them, I'll deliver their heads on a platter. Just get me back in there. We can get this done in the next 4 years. Right?
Mm.
So, I'm like, with all of that at our back, people can't see it for what it is. Because some people, or majority of us, not some, we still playing the game of politics, thinking that there's a good faction of them and a bad faction. What, not understanding that they both disdain. They embed with one another. So, for me, without being too radical in my thoughts, I'm like, yo, this shit goes deep. It goes all the way to where you think that it don't go, that's where it go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They out here drinking blood, killing babies,
shit,
you know, raping shit. They doing the most.
Wait, where it start.
Yeah, for whatever reason, people don't want to see it as that. Well, I'm like, no, we're talking about pure evil.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all the praying in the world is not going to confront that evil. It's not going to turn it around. Like, we're talking about, you know, our babies. Like, these people want to do harm to the children.
The thing about this, though, bro, that this is what they actually are showing on the TV and everything they're doing right now. And we still don't realize. It's not. This is not something that's new they've been picking us off and doing crazy shit to us for years. And people been like, right now, everybody show their uproar on Facebook, show their feelings on Facebook. Oh, this is crazy. They're killing us. We need to do something. But how many times are people just going to keep on saying it? It seems like there's no action. There's no action button. There's no button to say, hey, bing, they just killed another one of us on purpose, intentionally. It's time to strap up. You got people in New York right now that still think they should even have guns. They don't even think they say in New York, it's too dangerous. What we need to have military, what we need assault rifles, but what we need...
Well, I believe...
So they already tricked it. So think about this, and I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off, but being a person in the street, and especially like 19 million people in New York, if you got that many people against what you're saying as far as get your guns, we got a big fight ahead of us. We got a big war.
Right, but I believe the people that are serious just need to separate. You can't worry about the people that don't know what's going on yet. You don't have time for that. You can worry about the babies and people that are like-minded and move. Wherever you're going, it has to start. You got to start because we can't wait until they make a move and then try to hurry up and get everybody together. No.
Yeah, that's sloppy. So, you know, there's a lot of decisions that need to be made, and they shouldn't necessarily all be made on social media. That's not a smart strategy.
Right.
No, I'm just saying, you know, because these are real issues in terms of, all right, well, shit, well, how do we mobilize as a people or as a think tank off social media?
Exactly.
You know, when do we do it? Where do we do it? Who's involved?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Who can you trust? People,
yeah, who do we trust? How do we know? You know, how can we properly screen? Once again, we're talking about the safety of these babies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if necessary, being able to create a community or a society that will be able to sustain, you know, the coming storm. So, you feel me? So this
can
is
ask
like...
You one thing, no.
I think we need drop squads,
can I ask you one thing, brother? What you say,
I said, I think we need drop squads, too. All these people out here killing everybody else.
We need to stop looking for humanity and the people whose existence is basically coming to an end. They fighting for their life. You understand what I'm saying? And we keep looking to them for some type of humanity, like on that kumbaya shit and all of that. And they don't give a fuck about us.
All of us are not going to make it.
Our nature, our nature's part, as far as being righteous by nature, is like the gift and the curse. Look, they showing their fangs like this. In our face.
And we showing up like, you know, we playing
games because you know what?
We ain't protecting our neck. And they showing their fangs.
That's right.
I feel like it's better for us all to be like mentally to be on one accord. But when you try to unify, it allows too many snakes to get in your garden. You feel what I'm saying? You gotta like right now, so say for instance, right, bro, you over there, Empress over there, and Corey over there, right? If we all have the same agenda and we just working toward that mental we know we're working on, mm-hmm. it's harder for them to actually break us apart. You see what I'm saying? But once we get together, that's when the Nation of Islam, they send people in. That's what they've been doing to us our whole, like, I mean, since inception, they always send people in. And being that we're brotherly, we want to help everybody. We don't know if that person's a snake or a rat or a foreman or what it is. We allow them right into our witchcraft because they look like us. So it's almost like, well, at the end of the day, if we both stay and working toward the agenda, but not allow them a facility that they can come into and spread us apart. You do your work, I do my work, he do his work, we all do our work, we all working toward the same thing.
We can start like that.
Just all at one time, you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it can't end like that.
When we together, they shut movements down, they kill movements, you know what I'm saying? Like, but when you spread apart, they don't know who's who.
I feel you.
When you look at y'all, you get a lot of these shoes when they still need some type of cults.
We still need... Something that's going to get us together so we can know.
Right.
So I can know that you on the same
right.
page I'm
We got to have that original
the page I'm on and
meeting.
On the, you know what I'm saying? So we still got to get together at some point.
Right.
So we can at least get that straight.
I think you know we get saying? Together. Oh. You start, like you saying, Lala. And, you know, everybody gets together that's of like mine. Everybody start their own agenda or whatever. But at certain dates we meet or whatever. You know, I don't want to say everything up here. But then after that, you eventually have to come together as a unit. It can't just be you over here, you over here, you over here, because we got to bring everything together that we've created.
YouTube, I just don't know who to trust. Like, listen, like right now,
I ain't worried about that. I don't believe
a lot of our conscious leaders online, right? And a conscious brother could do 1,000 good deeds and have this one flaw that make people just not mess with them. You know what I'm saying? And then you also have a lot of other conscious brothers in the community that start bashing. So it's almost like at the end of the day, we all have our flaws. It's almost like what flaw are you going to trust within that person, or who are you going to trust with that flaw?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Because they're going to come with it. You know what I'm saying?
They're going to come with it.
They're going to come with it. And, you know, the criteria, like you said, is to be perfect. And who's going to match that criteria? So,
right.
It's very, you know, this thing is very much like religion. You know what I mean? In terms of people having a savior complex and looking for a savior and expecting somebody to be able to walk on waters. And that don't exist. And it's like the reality of the situation kicks in to it. Like, yo, we don't got time to still be playing these fantasy games, mm-hmm. right? If we're talking about survival, it's like we got to figure this stuff out, and we got to figure it out in timely fashion, because we don't have that much time. These people are saying, look, we'll have a vaccine by the winter, by the end of the year, by December, and they got the military in place. I don't know whether they're telling the truth or they're bluffing. But I can't afford to sit around and find out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or not. I have to make plans. I got to make moves, because that's not, you know what I mean? That's not a situation that I want to find myself in. Like you said, at the mercy of them, thinking that you know, their compassion is kicking in and they're, you know, that's the game. And I ain't falling for it. It's nothing that they're selling that I'm buying. You dig what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, we might be here, you know, spreading the message to people, but we might be wasting our time too, because I'm ready to start moving, you know what I mean? In terms of making sure that I'm securing what it is that I need to secure, you know, to position myself the way that I need to position myself, because, you know, I know that I ain't passing no goddamn screening when they throw the what's your name?
Right.
Oh, nothing.
So what are your plans? What is it that we can start to get this thing going?
What I have started mm-hmm. that I am spreading amongst people that I want us to be involved with is the farming initiative.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because to me, the farming initiative encompasses food, clothing, and shelter. And ultimately, you know, once we understand the benefits of land and soil and the richness of it, you know, we can build a community around that, but we got to get back into appreciation for agriculture.
Okay.
You know, we have to appreciate that no matter where we go. If we leave here, we go to the wherever we go, ultimately, we're going to have to do for self and grow our own food, especially if we are outlawed. I mean, again, I talk in a way in which makes certain people uncomfortable because we're not in that space now, that reality. And they be like, damn, brother, that shit kind of makes me feel uncomfortable. And I'm just like, look. You feel me?
Get it right.
Just like they showed you in the Terminator with John Connor and them, goddamn it, they had a resistance, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't want vaccines and you don't want X, Y, Z or whatever, you're going to be part of that resistance. God damn it. And there's going to be a very slim amount of you compared to the majority of people that's going to go for it. Mm. Right. Because they're going to twist their arm. They got a multitude of ways that they can do that at this particular point. That they don't got to use military. They can use food. Right. So my whole thing is like, I had stopped eating meat. It wasn't even more so for the unsavory aspects of, I stopped eating it because it was being prepared from hands that I don't trust. Mm. So I'm like, yo, if I don't know no melanated, carbonated people that process and package meat, I ain't got no business eating meat, because there's nothing that they selling that I want to buy.
I got it.
And damn sure that's a give a fool. Once I know how dirty these people is, I'm like, yo, the last thing that I want to do is participate in eating something that they're responsible for cultivating. Because I know that they put all that energy in that shit. I'm not eating no animal behind them that grew up 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years around, you know what I'm saying, as this low frequency individual. And then they knocking that shit disrespectfully over the head and killing it with no dignity. And then Lord knows they probably be running up in debt. Look. I don't know what they be doing with that. They got a thing for dead carcasses, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They necrophiliac in their approach, and these people are just very dark and occulted, you know. So you killing 3,000 animals at a time. I've been to ceremonies. I know what you can do with one animal that you kill, right?
Yeah,
you can crack the sky open. You know what I'm saying, with the right type of ritual. I'm like, shit, what happens when you kill 3,000 at a time every single day? I don't want no parts of that. So that's my thing. It's like, shit, we got a lot to pick up and be responsible for. And everybody's not going to answer in the call. But for the ones of us who had the benefit of standing in the shadows of our master teachers and regurgitating their words, now you got to do the action. It's not just enough to be like, oh, I'm God. No, you're going to have to be responsible for everything now.
Yeah, it's so funny that you say that, right? So look, you know, I followed the Morris movement back in the days. You know, I did it all. Studied the master teacher. You know, I know a couple people that was involved in a couple different different movements, right?
Yes, sir.
And don't you think it's a problem? You got people out here really trying to act like they the next coming. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not throwing names. I'm not into the, you know, into all that. But there's a couple people on there, and they make it seem like they're the next king that people should be following in the world. Like, you know what I mean? They're the next, you know, and they tie names to all type of biblical references and all type of things and dates and all that type of stuff. It's like, come on. Like, there's nobody going to follow you. Like, you know what I mean? That's a problem. Y'all out here trying to get people to follow y'all. Everybody want to be a leader. You know a couple people like that. I know you know a couple people like that.
that's where it's not genuine. And
I know you know a couple people like that.
Like, I don't even think.
And you don't think that you don't think they're a big problem? You don't think that's a big problem, honestly?
It could be, but we shouldn't be focusing on that. I don't even think red and blue were trying to be, like, leaders.
No, I ain't saying red and blue.
I'm just saying in general. Like, most of the people that are leaders.
I never heard red or blue tell me they was the, they was Imam coming back. I never heard.
No. I'm just saying.
Was, you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
I'm addressing.
Weed and all these different. Well, look, I never heard all them say that.
Right. I'm addressing the fact of leaders. Period. Yeah. Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Let me say this: those people, right? Like, imagine if you came up in church. Imagine if you came up in the mosque, and the pinnacle of excellence. Right, and the ceiling that they always held over you was the Messiah, the Christ, or the Mahdi. You know what I mean? So in those programs, in those systems, a person can't be great unless you that guy. Right? It's like, because that's what everybody aspires to. So it all breaks down to aspirational, you know, what are you aspiring to? And it's weird because you're being compelled to show up in some form of leadership, right? Even if you just like the regular conscious person that got a little bit of information, people expect a level of leadership from you, right? Yo, can you tell me how to do this? Can you show me how to do that? What should I read? What should I eat? Where should I go? That person, even if they're just considered, if they only fall under the guide or the mentor, you know, that's still in a weird form leadership to a degree.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's not only just the people who always find themselves, well, shit, the only way that I can make noise in this space is if I, you know, fit whatever the criteria is for the thing in this place that gets attention. Everybody wants attention. Attention is the new currency, right? And then, you know, if you just try to be regular in that space, you know what I mean? And that'd be a next, oh, you're not a leader. You know, you should be leading the people. What do you have to offer? What do you got to give? So the people put you in that game.
They force you.
The doctrine puts you into that game. The platforms put you into that game. And it's very attractive for some people to flirt with that as well because of the benefits that come from it. You feel me?
I want to clarify one thing too. I said a name a minute ago.
Did you?
I realized there's a brother that's on Facebook that go by that name. I'm not talking about that brother when I said that Joshua. Right. Which, oh. I'm not talking about that brother. You know what I'm saying? But that's what some people say they come in back as. You know what I'm saying? So I just said that name. So I just want to clarify.
No, I
just want to clarify that.
Going
back to what you're saying.
Yeah, so I mean one of the main things that they say, even like when I said it, I be in the white supremacist chat rooms and stuff like that. And I read a lot of stuff from a lot of different places. I'm always reading, you know, different news articles and stuff like that. And one of the main things that they observe through this is like, look, black people really don't have leadership. You know, when the shit matter most, you know, they like, where's the leaders at? The leaders are athletes and entertainers. You know what I mean? So it's almost like a given with us as a people that they expect to see some form of leadership. But of course we can say, oh, well, no other group has leaders. And that's true and then that's not true. You know what I'm saying? Because like in Indian societies where they have hierarchical systems, like there's a form of leadership that goes into that. You know what I'm saying? In Catholicism, the Pope is the leader, right? Christianity has anything with a hierarchical system has a form of leadership. You know what I'm saying? And then we live in a country that also comes under the dictates of quote unquote leadership. You know what I mean?
Anybody have any more questions? Blue has about maybe 10-15 minutes left. Then he has another interview.
You can go to Zoom. I don't think there's no time limit, though.
No, he has another interview after this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another engagement after this.
Okay. Well, I know today is the notorious B.I.G.'s birthday. Shout out to that Goldwater.
Hold on. I'm not finished. Hold on. We got to get it all here.
That good old boss over there.
Woo! One more.
Hey, that antidote CBD pre-roll.
Shout out, Smokey Grow
Rich. I've been ducking down. I had surgery on my leg, so I'm over on the CBD. I didn't want to, you know what I mean, mess okay. the whole... You know,
oh, wait a minute, y'all. I almost forgot. Hold up. Look.
I see you got the Allison
Wolfie
on. That's right.
Shout out, AA. Okay.
Yeah, I see
that's
you.
Right, that's you right.
That's right. I got it. I got you.
So Benny, yes. this is a historic day, right? This is a complete time historic day. Yes. What does this day mean to you, brother?
This has always been a deep day, you know. Because it's like the cusp beginning of Gemini. You know, there's so many dope people born during the month of Gemini. And, you know, Biggie is definitely no exception. You know what I'm saying? I knew that this particular day was very much special because on this day next year, they were supposed to have the John Wick 4 and the Matrix 4 come out with Keanu Reeves.
Same day, right?
Yeah. On the same day. So, yeah, this would have been that.
Ooh.
Next year, if everything ain't happened, because I don't think that they're gonna finish the Matrix in time. But yeah, this is a dope day. You know, I tell a lot of stories about B.I.G. that are kind of too big for people to wrap their minds around.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I'm like, look, his name is Christopher Wallace. He was born on a Sunday. He died on a Saturday night, going into a Sunday during the solar eclipse, new moon solar eclipse with the Halley-Bopp comet passing over L.A. You know, this man was very much a deified figure, but not in the Christian sense of how every time that we think of somebody that's deified, we think about them in terms of a puritanical sense. I'm like, no, he's more like a demiurge than anything else, meaning that it's the flip side of whatever a Puritan is. You know, we produce a different type of God out of our generation. You know, the base God. You dig what I'm saying? So he was very much a debased character, but he still had God energy, deific energy. You know, we're talking about somebody who only got a 3-year run and was able to put an imprint on the game that is sustained and can never be removed. You know, within those 3 years of demonstrating, people were calling him the greatest to ever do it and the King of New York. Those are very lofty titles. Somebody really had to have a level of input, a level of talent, unveiling and an unwrapping of their innate talents. I mean, you really had to be putting on to, within a 3-year span, be considered the best that ever did it.
True that, with 2 hours.
You feel me? I mean, Jordan
had to come back. I think it may have been two and a half.
Yeah, I've interviewed with Blue Pill.
It's like almost 2 and a half.
Is that my dress?
Jordan had to come back for 3 peats, right?
Yeah.
Jordan, I got the same dress.
3 peats.
You sure that's not my dress?
Think about the magnitude of what he had to put in on.
I ain't get it from Dollar General.
2 3-peats.
Now I got mine from Walmart.
Big only did it in almost, like you said, 3 years. 2 albums, right? Which was really 3, because one of them was a double joint. Yeah. So, where he represents the vector, right? Let's think about it. If I was an occultist and I wanted to create something that everybody puts their energy into, you know what I'm saying? And this thing was big and black, so it absorbs everything. Right? It absorbs everything, you know? And then I fill it up with all of this accolades and praise, and then I burst it, right? Almost like a star, you know what I'm saying? Right. And that star now forms a black hole, right? And it sucks up and engulfs everything it comes to contact with. You know, the man went diamond posthumously, right? And his dream is the world that we live in right now. This is not Martin Luther King's world, right? This is not Barack Obama's world that we live in. This is Biggie Smalls' world, though,
yeah.
Right? When you become the king of nigga kingdom, you dictate the minds and mentality of where the people are going. You become the compass to be like, this is cool and this isn't. Everything that he came and said was cool, and this is where we're going, and this is where we're about as a people, that's still where we are at today. Right? And people is just trying to, you know, get a piece here and a piece there. And
he answered you, Mom.
But no one has ever changed it. No one has ever changed it. No one has ever challenged it. Niggas are still popping bottles. You know what I'm saying? Niggas are still pushing foreigns. They still want the yellow girl. You know what I'm saying? They still wearing Jesus pieces. You know. But somebody that was so talented as he was, you know what I mean? In that monotone delivery and the fact that he created all of his rhymes in his head, that's a different type of magic altogether. You know, you're creating a world in your mind that you're not even writing down, you know, on picture. Now everyone is enraptured and encapsulated in these fantasies that you, for the most part, are having. That he got to see some of that in his lifetime, but some of it, you know, he didn't really get to see the fruits of his labors. Yeah. He almost died broke.
Mm. Right.
He signed a deal with St. Ives. I don't remember if y'all remember that last St. Ives.
Yeah.
He did a St. Ives commercial right before he died. They paid him $1.3 million. or either 1.5 or whatever. That was the money that he had to be like, I got some bread. He ain't had no album money, right? Remember, he got jerked for his publishing. So, you know, he wasn't touching paper like that. He wasn't living the shit that he was rhyming about, per se. He was on his way, but he didn't live to see it. You know what I'm saying? Mm. You know, Puff became the benefactor of all of that hard work. You know what I mean?
Do you think niggas like a Tekashi 6ix9ine are like the antithesis to like
what Biggie? Yeah, Tekashi 6ix9ine becomes the cancer of the dream, right? Because what happens when Big and Puff come through in the shiny suit era, right? They shut down consciousness in hip hop. They shut down what I call the 5-point energy of hip hop. The 5-point energy of hip hop was God body, 5% Islam. 6-point energy of hip hop was Christianity by way of materialism, crass materialism. Remember, Puff and Big was Roman Catholic students. Big brought in the Jesus peaks. Mm. Or white Jesus. At the time, the niggas were saying they was God body, right? He was the antithesis to consciousness, right? You know, he didn't start crack rap, but God damn it,
He elevated it.
He elevated it. He made this shit an art form, right? Exactly. He made crack rap an art form.
Right.
You know, then Jay will come later, he'll make Willie rap an art form. Yeah. Whereas Big was making Nickel and Diamond an art form, you know, Jay comes and graduates and makes the Willie an art form. He gives the Willie an aesthetic and a conversation piece. And yeah. You know what I mean? This was important for the culture. But I'm saying, when you make it just about cash, you make it just about, you know, money and everything, cash was everything around me. All about the Benjamins. And you don't say nothing about the rules. You feel me? Then the emphasis for these children is acquisition. I got to get the bag. Why? That's the criteria. Criteria is the bag. Exactly. You could be whoever you want, a fuck nigga, a snitch, a bitch nigga, whatever. If you got the bag, and you right, then you gain interest in the club.
Yeah.
Right? And I used to see, I would go out, and I'm like, what is this type of nigga doing in here? Like, that wasn't allowed back in the day. You feel me?
Exactly.
When there was standards, when the Wolves were still home, like the Goofies could not come around. I don't care what type of money you got, because that shit is going to get, somebody going to go in your pocket. Mm-hmm. You're not safe outside.
Yeah.
What are you doing here? Mm-hmm. Right. Who you came with?
Right.
So when that disappeared, and the criteria just became, oh, just got to have a bag, or just even look like you got the bag. You know what I'm saying? It destroyed the game altogether. So, yeah. Tekashi 6ix9ine has just become, he's just the cancer of that dead body. You know what I mean? What else? You know what I mean? They be like, yo, son is off code. What is the code? Mm. Somebody please tell me.
That's what we need to find out.
Right? Because, I mean, we know what the Ten Crack Commandments are, but why nigga ain't made the code song? Right? Because niggas, they memorize everything else.
I think brothers made it. Them joints just wasn't that hot. You know what I'm saying? So them joints, they spread. I think it's when they come over joints about snitching and knowing what you should and what you should not do.
Yeah, maybe you need to get with Brother Rich and make the code song, yo.
Yeah, something to go down.
Yeah, you, Bada, and Red. We need that.
We need the code song, man. We got the 10 Crack Commandments. We need the code song. We got to get with the code, B.
10 Code Commandments.
Motherfuckers is agreeing with Tekashi's.
Yeah, but they're casualties of war.
I mean, yeah.
You got to overlook them. You know, they become opposition, though. They become opposition.
Shit is okay.
Okay, but they become opposition. I don't focus on you. I get you when I get to you, but you don't. You can't be on this team if that's how you're thinking.
From the dying breed side of the fence.
You stay away.
Look, Empress, you're right. You're right 100%, Empress. I feel what you're saying, but check this out, right? When you got a person that just got out of jail and doing the streaming numbers he got, but then we live in a...
Doesn't matter.
Time out.
Go ahead.
Then we live in a time where a person like Cam Bada got one of the hottest albums out.
Yes.
And is not platinum.
That
you
is fact.
You see where the mentality is at of the people. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, it's the mentality.
The majority of the people. Right, right.
Your shit is like...
Yeah.
Tekashi, you know, look, he's shooting, you know, the people at the backboard. You know what I'm saying? He's making those bank shots because he has backboard support. You feel me? His shit is not on that. It's the people at the backboard.
Right, right, right.
You know, he has to have something to bounce off of. He's bouncing that fuck shit off of the people.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. The people are suspect.
Yeah.
Mm, right? Because they have been, I'm just saying, they all part and parcel. It's one big fishbowl. We have been orientated as a people, right, to throw out the morals, the rules, the codes, and all of that shit for the bag. Right?
Bag.
Bitches is up there on OnlyFans selling box on Instagram, yeah. And their mamas and their daddies is on their, like, there's no code. Like, this shit, it been fucked up. You think what I'm saying? Right? They said, oh, Zimmerman is still alive. Okay, well, Tekashi is just another version of that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, it's all part and parcel. It's all the same.
How do we even compete with that shit? It's like fuckery is at an all-time high.
Why are we worried about that? If you are eventually separating from the masses... Right, but eventually, it's not going to matter what's popping, because you're not going to be around it. Your goal is to get yourself together and your circle of people and to move. So who cares what's going on with Tekashi? Right? Why give it that power? Say what?
Brothers like Blue Pill ain't commercialized.
Since when? Blue's everywhere. He's global.
Nah, I'm not. And then
please.
When this happened, I had to be like, you know what? I'm thankful that I'm not.
What?
You feel me?
Why?
Well, yeah.
Because
okay.
The wolves come out.
Wolves come out, but why? It's not the wolves. It's like, I've been under, you know, these people, like I said, they know who we are. They know what we do. They know where we do it from. They know all that. You know what I'm saying? I can't tell you how many ex-military people, like, I don't get ex-police and ex-FBI. I get ex-military, right? And you military, you always military. So the surveillance is different. But what I'm saying is that commercialism is still protected by them gatekeepers. You know what I'm saying? I come from the industry. You know what I mean? I know what this shit look like. I seen them build this shit up, take it down, repo it, bring it back. Like, yeah. I didn't see it at all, right? So, there would have just been a lot of clashes. You feel me? I don't see nobody that is like, oh, we could have worked with them. It was going to be a fight. Because they fuck niggas, and I don't care, like, you could say something intelligent every now and then, but no, these people are part of the problem. So there's nobody that's in that commercial realm, you know what I'm saying, that I can see any level of partnership with.
Right.
I would just be up there shooting all day.
Nobody.
You feel me?
Right. That's why I said we focus on our thing, get it together, and move it. And don't worry about that. And then we circulate the dollar within.
And move.
Yeah.
And then be mindful enough to be like, damn, I done brought somebody with me to still want to look at Tekashi when we go live.
Oh, no.
What the hell I'm going to do about this?
They got to go back.
Because he got the babies.
Oh. Well,
he got them.
Yeah.
He got them. They can't rationalize what we're talking about. It's not real to them. Right? Because they don't have
they don't got that. They not from where we from.
That's
they
right.
They went through what we went through.
Yeah.
A lot of
not all the babies, though. Sure. Not all the babies. Because I'm
my child.
Definitely not mine.
I gotta go through.
Yeah, not mine. But but that's one in a million. So
my child watched me. She seen me watching maybe a video from you or from Red Pill or something like that. And this past summer we was in New York. We was in Brooklyn at the African Festival.
You right? took the picture with Blue, didn't you?
She pointed y'all out
mm-hmm.
before I even knew y'all was there.
Yeah.
She was dope. Like, yo, there go, what so-and-so, so-and-so. You know what I'm saying? That you be watching on YouTube. I'm like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying?
And right.
We went and copped some of the steam mods.
Indeed. It's not a blanket statement, you know what I'm saying? But I'm saying the majority of the children,
right?
You know, in our company, they do different things when they get to school, around the social circles. That's why I'm just like, shit, don't send them back to school. This is a blessing in disguise as well.
Exactly.
You know, you need the attention of your children. You need to be able to orientate the children towards some form of consciousness or how you think. Or what the Bible look like, or this new normal, like, people gonna have to toughen up just a little bit because it's gonna get aggressive out here.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? And a lot of the children are soft because the family, you know, parents wanted to raise them different than how they got raised up, and they coddled them. And I'm saying that worked in some degrees, but I don't know if it's gonna work in this new normal where shit is gonna be aggressive. You got 60 million people that are not working right now.
Mm.
Yeah. You feel me? Like, what are we raising these children to be? Because we ain't get the drop to be like, oh, STEMs is where children need to be focusing their energy because shit, you know, these old ass jobs that they go to school for are not going to exist in 10 to 15 years. Well, guess what? They're not going to exist next year.
Period.
For sure.
Right.
Damn right. You can't even ask them what they want to be. You got to ask them.
Right. Where's our online, mandated movement, right? Like, remember this shit? If you don't finish this homework, when I come home, I'm going to put this fucking whooping on you. I'm going to put lashes on you. Why are we not like that with these children today for shit that will actually...
Because they'll lock us up now.
Right?
You made it BCW.
No, okay. Parents scared to go to jail. They need to find
them. Damn right.
I'm going to get this nigga to beat you up. You know what I'm saying? Get a little nigga to put the whoopings on them.
We living in the bitch-ass society. Huh? Yeah, we living in a bitch-ass society. Everybody's soft. You can't
I ain't scared
nothing.
To go to jail. I just don't need to.
I mean, I'm hearing about this. Like, I still remember my whoopings. So I'd be like, wait,
yeah, me
what?
Too.
They can't do what no more?
I know.
I'm still whooping. Right. I'm like.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy.
We got 2 minutes left, guys, before we wrap the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah, that's crazy, though. But, yeah, nah. A kid around my way right now, I dare you tell a kid you're going to be there. Kid tell you straight up there, call the cops on you.
Yeah. They savvy. They know that.
They know.
Not mine.
They know that.
Not mine.
I can call the cops on you.
Yeah, not mine. That's old school. They know that.
Yeah, wait, not mine.
What? I'm finna call up and pack my bags and float through the foster care system and
right. They know how to act like they know how to act like they getting fucked up before you even fuck them up.
Quick. So, all right. So that's the thing that's missing. That you know we have to look at to be like, damn, what would toughen these children up, right? Because they'll pick a pistol up, but they don't know how to throw their hands, so they give up too easy. You feel me? Like, could these little niggas climb a mountain if they needed to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, where we headed with this? I don't want to just see us get washed up and we would just show up with the head that we ain't even get a chance to respond because we ain't even get out the crib. They just washed us up on the toilet.
Yeah.
Crazy shit like that.
We have to do a
washed us up in our sleep. Like, yeah, I don't want to see it.
It's not going to happen. You said an online mandated movement. Is that what you called it?
What happened?
No, Blue. Did you call it an online mandated movement? Is that what you called it?
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, so with something like with Q Butter's teaching children can be taught online to millions of children.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? How to code, how to break down and rebuild.